Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 4 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 20, 9 through 26. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It really helps other people find out about the 10-week Bible study, and my deepest heart desire is that other people will fall in love with God's word and fall in love with God. That is everything that I'm trying to do here. So I appreciate it anytime you leave reviews and let other people know about this podcast. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, will you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Oh, speak to us. Flood our hearts with the knowledge of you. Touch us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke chapter 20, starting in verse 9. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants. They would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyards to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Let's pause right there. We have the benefit of hindsight as we're reading this, and we know where the story is going. And if you've read the book of Luke 10 times in 10 weeks, you know where this is headed at this point. Jesus is really good at really sticking it to the Pharisees. Luke makes a point here to show us the many ways and all of the times that Jesus really goes after the Pharisees, really goes after the teachers of the law. Jesus is being very, very pointed here. We're going to see as we continue reading that they get it. This is a parable, like most of the parables were told so that people would not see and not understand, because the whole point of them was for the people who are humble of heart to come to Jesus afterwards and say, "I don't really get it. Can you explain it to me?" He wanted to find the humble hearts with the parables. This one is not so veiled. They got this one. Whether by it just really is that clear to them in the moment, or by revelation that the Lord gives them, they're going to understand this one very, very well, and they're not going to like it. Verse 17. Jesus looked directly at them and asked, What is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them, but they were afraid of the people. So Jesus is telling them this whole parable, and they get it this time. Again, they understand that they are the caretakers of the vineyard, and that the master is God, and then he's sending them all of these people, right? They understand that the people that have been sent to talk to them about the master, the prophets, and the prophets have come and gone, and they've done to them what they wanted to. And finally, the son. They understand that Jesus is saying, "I'm the son." And the Father, he's going to come destroy you because you're rejecting me. You're going to kill me. Isn't it interesting? When they crucified Jesus, they're going to take him outside the city walls. They really did this. They threw the son outside of the vineyard, outside of the garden, and killed him there. That's exactly what they're doing with Jesus. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they all understood, yeah, he's calling us these wicked servants, and he's saying that we're going to die. And understand the conflict here, because they are already looking for a way to kill him. Jesus knows that. And so Jesus is basically saying, you think you're going to kill me. You don't know what's coming when you stand before my Father, is basically what he's saying. When you stand before my Father, whatever you've done is going to pale in comparison to how he is going to treat you. This is a dire warning. I mean, this is not even a small veiled threat. And they get this. And they know this passage about the cornerstone, and they're thinking, you know, that it's going to be the rejection of somebody else. They would have never assumed that the rejection of the cornerstone is by them. And here Jesus is telling them, no, it's you. You are the ones who are going to reject the cornerstone. And all of these things combined, this infuriates them, and they are absolutely ready to kill him now. Let's move on. Verse 20. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he says so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." If someone ever begins what they're going to ask you with that, run the other way. There's just absolutely, when someone butters you up like that, whatever comes next is just absolutely not going to be good. And that's exactly what happens here. Verse 22, "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Understand, like, they are just absolutely trying to trap him here. They're absolutely trying to trap him. Again, you try and match wits with the creator of the universe, you try and match wits with God himself, you're going to lose. Verse 23, "He saw through their duplicity and said to them, 'Show me a denarius whose image and inscription are on it.' 'Caesar's,' they replied. He said to them, 'Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's.' They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent." They were trying to get Jesus to say, you know, hey, and this is something they thought. They weren't brave enough to do it because they knew the Romans would put them in jail and kill them, but they didn't want to pay taxes to Caesar. They didn't want to pay taxes to the Romans. They didn't even like the Roman money because it had people's faces on it. And the Jewish people felt that having a face on a coin like this was basically idolatry. And it was idol worship, and they didn't really even want to carry this money. So they had a separate set of money to pay the tax for the temple and to pay to keep up the temple and their religious duties. And so Jesus says, listen, Caesar's face is on it, so you'd better pay taxes out of that to Caesar. Obviously, he needs it so he can keep putting his face on things. And for the temple, use the temple money. I mean, this is actually really clear cut. And they're hoping, again, this is how they thought. They didn't want to be paying these taxes to Caesar. They didn't want to be carrying this money. They hated everything about this. And so they're really hoping that Jesus is a good Jew and he's going to speak his mind and say, yeah, that's Caesar. He's a lousy dog. And it's about time for the Messiah to come and kick him out so that we don't have to use his money or pay him taxes anymore. That's what they're hoping he's going to say. And he sees right through him. He knows what they're doing. I mean, reading through this, and again, we have hindsight, so we didn't hear the way that they said and the way that they buttered him up. Maybe we would have fallen for it. Again, Jesus is never going to fall for this. But they're just trying to get him to say something against Caesar so that they can have him arrested on these charges. And in the end, they're going to have him arrested on just completely false charges. They're going to continue pushing and pushing with this kind of stuff. And it's going to get more and more fearful that they're not going to be able to find a legitimate way to get him to transgress the laws of the Romans in such a way where they can put him to death, which is what they're trying to do. They want him dead. And it's proving to be very difficult because Jesus, as it turns out, is incredibly, incredibly smart. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.